Want us to cover this evening. I want us to deal really with the introduction, as it were, to Avilut proper now. So I want us to cover the dinim of Ma'abed Atzmo Ladat, which is the laws of suicide in Halakha. Want to deal with the mitzvah of Kavura, that's burial. Want to deal with the Sudat Havra'ah, which comes immediately after the burial, what we call the meal of consolation, and want to also deal with the question of, are the laws of Avilut Midoraita or Midrabanan, and that will lead us into next week dealing with all the details. So I want to start off with the sugya in Masechet Smachot. Masechet Smachot, also known as Avel Rabati. This is essentially a post-Talmudic small masechta that's printed at the back of the Shas, usually the end of Nezikin. It's based on earlier Braitot and was collated that in the times after the Amoraim, the early Gaonim. So it says as follows, and this is Masechet Smachot, is quoted extensively by the Rishonim on Hilchot Avilut. Ha'ma'abet et atzmo badat, ein mitaskin imo b'chol davar. So we wash our hands of them. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Korin Alav, Hoy Nishlecha, Hoy Nishle. We say, woe to this person who's been cast away. Amalo Rabbi Akiva, Hanachlo Bistamo. Just leave him. You know, don't say anything Lishvach, don't say anything Ligda. You don't need to talk about him. Al Tavarachehu, Vial Tekalalehu. Nothing positive, nothing negative. Ein korin vein choltsin vein maspidin alav. So we don't have the dinim of kriya, chalitzat hakatef. We've dealt with kriya in a previous year. Chalitzat hakatef was a minhag they had in Talmudic times, that the avelim would also uncover their shoulders as a sign of mourning. Vein maspidin alav, and we don't have a hesped. Aval omdin alav b'shura, v'omrim alav b'kat avelim. But there are certain things that we do. That's the shura. That's the consolation that we extend to the avelim after the kavura. And we say birkat avelim. Birkat avelim is something which we don't say any longer, but again, it's something which appears in the Mishnah and in Chazal. That was a special bracha that was said that to the avelim, that's after a kavura. So why do we have this distinction between certain things that we don't do and certain things that we do do? That's because these latter things afford dignity to the avelim. So we don't give the niftar any kavod, but we give the krovim kavod. And we'll revert to this concept later on in the shir as well, because we'll need to come back to that notion of the kvod hachayim.
You said means
person who commits suicide willingly, willfully loses his own life. Let's jump many centuries now to the Chochmat Adam, who says as follows, codifies this essentially. Ha'ma'abed atzmo ladat hu rasha she'ein lemala mimenu, tells us why it's so terrible, because we've got a pasuk in Parsha. Noach v'achet tamchem lenafshotichem edrosh, v'chamor mikol chayvei mitot sheba Torah. It's worse than anything else for which you chayv mita, she'yitzro gavar alav letava or kas v'chayot seba. Uvishvil yachid nivra olam, v'cholam ma'abed nefesh achat m'Yisrael, kinu ma'abed olam malei. Kol shekein sha'arashah hazeh ibed olam malei biyadav. V'lachein em yisaskin imahem l'chol davar. So he's telling us the background for this. Why is ma'abed latzmo ladat so strict? Because it's the equivalent of murder. It's exactly the equivalent of murder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world even for the sake of one person, and this person has taken his own life away. So in any event, the Masechet Smachot has made this distinction between things which are lichvot ha-chayim and those things which are lichvot ha-meitim.
It seems that taking your own life is worse than taking somebody else's.
Sorry? That's, well, he says it's chamul mikol chavei mitot sheba Torah. That's, I think perhaps with chavei mitot sheba Torah, I think he's referring not to necessarily to killing, but, you know, chilul Shabbat and other things for which you'd be chav mita. So look in the Beit Yosef. So the Beit Yosef quotes from the Rashba. Sha'amru b'chol makom ein nitzaskim mahem l'chol davar, lo le'inyan kvura v'tachrichin amru. So even though we said at the beginning of the sugya, the halacha in Avel Rabbati, we said ein nitaskinim lo b'chol davar, the Rashba is qualifying that. That's not, I might have thought, you don't even bury the fellow. It says, you know, of course we bury the fellow. In terms of, we've got three categories of hitaskut, if you like. We've got things which are letzorech hameit, things which are l'chavod hameit, and things which are l'chavod hachayim. So something which is l'tzorech hameit, we take care of. Person needs to be buried. We don't leave bodies lying in the street. Things which are l'chavod hachayim, we also take care of. It's not their fault that somebody committed suicide. And then you've got the middle area, if you like, things lichvot hametim, which are denied to a person who commits suicide. I should have introduced the shir just by saying that, number one, we're going to, as we go through it, define what the definition is of suicide. And second of all, just to flag up that, you know, I recognise that this could be a sensitive subject for, you know, somebody around the table. You know, and obviously, if it is, you know, then I, you know, hope to deal with it sensitively. So let's see how the Ramban deals with it, because we're going to see an important machloket between the Ramban and the Rambam in terms of what we actually, what aspects of Avelut are actually practiced. So the Ramban in Torah Ta'adam, we said last time or the time before, you know, Torah Ta'adam, really, that's probably the most important work in the Rishonim on Hilchot Avelut. Klalo shel davar kol shu kavod l'chayim harabim mitaskin imo, kol she'ein ol kavod l'chayim ein harabim mitaskin imo. V'nireli te'ein korin l'chavod ka'amar. So he's referring back to the halacha in Masechet Smachot. We said you don't do kriya. He says, no, that's not that the Avelim don't do Kriya, it's that nobody else does Kriya. Sometimes you have a situation where, you know, as a sign of dismay over what's happened, other people besides the immediate relatives will do Kriya, and that we don't do. Avakrovim haru'im litabel korim, de Kriya chiyuvahu, because the chiyuv of Avelut still applies, and Kriya is a chiyuv which is incumbent upon the Krovim, so they have to do Kriya. V'imto ma'aseh she'eino oseh ma'aseh amcha peturim imenu, so you might say, no, but that you only have to observe Avelut for a person who does ma'aseh amcha. That's, and this person has excluded himself from being part of the observant community. So the Ramban says, in actual fact, Avelut does apply. That's, Avelut does apply for a person who's committed suicide. The only exception to that is we have with Haruge Beit Din. Haruge Beit Din, that's, there's no din of Avelut at all. There's only a din of Aninut. That's classical Aninut, probably. That's not the Aninut in the terms of the Ptur from Mitzvot, but the classical Aninut that we spoke about, again, on the previous previous occasion.
You mean the Aninut
Deraisa? Yeah, yeah. So, in any event, it's important the Ramban is telling us that Avelut does apply.
So was Ian asking me, according to the Ramban?
You don't do anything which is as covered for the mate. You don't have a hesped. You don't let other people that's tear kriya. You don't have a levaya of 500 people and a big notice in the Jewish Tribune. That's those things you don't do. That's things which are lichvot hachayim, or things which are necessities of the mate, or things which are dinim of avilut, you do practice. Now, if we look in the Rambam, again, in Masechet Smachot, again, in Halacha Bet, he says at the end of the Halacha, V'chol ha-ma'abed et atzmo b'dat, ein mitaskin bo b'chol davar. So the Lashon there is, again, ein mitaskin imo l'chol davar. And the Rambam uses that Lashon. The Rambam says, "Hamaabe that's more ladat. I'm mitaskin more lechol davar. I'm mitabri malav. I'm maspidin uto. Avalondin alav b'shura. V'omim alav b'katavilim. V'chol davar shul kvod lechayim." Right, we've seen that. The Rambam is telling us that v'ein mitablin alav. That's the important thing. This is the important machloket between the Ramban and the Rambam. The Ramban is telling us that there is avelut, and the Rambam says there's no avelut even. All you have is the things which are critical to the mate. You bury him. You wash him and you bury him. You don't do anything more, except for things which are kavod l'chayim, whereas the Ramban says, no, all the dinim of avelut, they do apply.
So what's the Ramban would hold about kriya, that you don't do it?
That's, kriya you don't do.
Where does the Ramban say that? You mean no ginolog?
Ramban, Nachmanides or Maimonides?
I'm talking about the Ramban.
Nachmanides. That's because he says it's v'lo matzino ela baharuge beitin a mitablim ela onanim. That's only with haruge beitin that there's no avelut. But to everybody else, there is avelut.
So do you do kvura according to the Rambam?
Yeah. Everybody agrees you do kvura. That's
ask for the chaim.
No, kvura is just a necessity for the mate. That's he doesn't disagree with the Rashban. That we don't leave dead people lying around in the street. I mean, there's an issue of baltalin, that you're not allowed to leave somebody unburied. That's the point is that I suppose really the machloket is how are we going to understand what ein mitaskin imor means, and what do we mean by things which are lichvod hametim. In terms of, is avelut lichvod hametim, or is it simply a halach in the Torah? That's halach in the Torah that you've got to observe avelut. The Ramban seems to think that it's halach in the Torah that you have to observe avelut. And therefore, whether the person's a rasha or a tzaddik or ma'abed atzmo ladat, it doesn't matter. Whereas the Rambam holds that avelut seems to be a matter of kavod lametim, and therefore that seeing as we don't give kavod lametim in the case of a suicide, so therefore there's no din of avelut for ma'abed atzmo ladat.
But when we say there is avelut or not avelut, is nafkamina to kriah? What else?
No, all the din of avelut. Can you have a shower? Can you cut your hair?
Okay.
Yeah, all the din of avelut.
So the Rambam is like the Rashba. And that you should only do things that are
called a chayim. Well, no, I mean, the yes, but we don't really know what the Rashba holds about sitting shiva. You know, in terms of, we understand that ein korim v'lo choltzim v'lo maspidim, those are all things which are clearly lichvod hametim, right? But it's unclear what the Rashba holds about sitting shiva. The Rambam holds that the sitting shiva is a function of kvod hametim, so you don't sit shiva. Whereas the Ramban holds that it's not a function of kvod hametim, and therefore you do sit shiva. We don't know what the Rashba holds as far as that's concerned. Yeah. Now, before we look at the Shulchan Aruch, I want us to go back and look at the first part of the Rambam, and before that, the second halacha in Masechet Smachot, to try and define what it is that is ma'abed atzmo ladat. So look in Maseches Machot Perek Bet Halacha Bet. He says, it says, Eizeu Ma'abed Etzatzmo Badat. Lo She'ala L'Rosh Ha'ilam V'Nafal V'Meit V'Lo L'Rosh Ha'gag V'Nafal V'Meit. El Azeh She'amar, person who says, Hareini Ole L'Rosh Ha'ilam L'Rosh Ha'gag V'Apil Atzmi V'Amut. V'ra'uhu She'ala L'Rosh Ha'ilam V'Nafal V'Meit O L'Rosh Ha'gag V'Nafal V'Meit. So Maseches Machot is telling us that a person is not regarded as a suicide unless we've got explicit intent followed by that being carried out. That's meaning it's not circumstantial evidence. But the person needs to say I'm going up to kill myself, and then he does so.
A letter wouldn't work.
We'll come to letters. I don't know, in the times of Masechet Shmachot, people didn't write notes. In the times of Chazal, you wrote shtarot, and that was like kind of it. So, the notion of a suicide note wouldn't have existed in those. So the Achronim address it. And then the Rambam says, similarly, third line down, Eizeu Amar Beit Atzmo Badat, Lo She'ala L'Gag V'Nafal V'Meit, Ela Omer Hareini Ole L'Rosh Ha'Gag, Ra'uhu She'ala Miyad. Now the Rambam is expanding a little bit here. Ra'uhu She'ala Miyad, he immediately went and carried out what he said he was doing. Derech Kas, either that he was angry about a situation. In classical times, what's important to understand, in classical times, it seems, why did people commit suicide? It seems for different reasons than they necessarily commit suicide nowadays. I mean, I guess that many of the reasons that people commit suicide for nowadays existed then. But there was a classical notion of just despairing with the world. It wasn't that, you were under pressure or you were depressed or you were ill or in trouble or something like that. But it was philosophically, you just felt the world was pointless. Everything is silly, so therefore, I don't believe in the world, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in man has a role to play, so I may as well just, kill myself rather than have to, contend with, there's no afterlife, there's no nothing, so I may as well kill myself instead of having to, have the hassle of earning a living.
It's only if it goes up derech kas, no? Like in the Mishnah, you didn't mention derech kas.
Correct, but I'm not sure exactly what he means, derech kas. It seems that it's, he was distressed about something, or he was angry about something, but it might mean that he was angry with the world. But let's just say, or shaya meitzar, or he was distressed, in a sense of distress, v'nafal v'meit. Okay, so we see, the point is that we're seeing is that the intention and the act are linked together. If you can't link the intention and the act directly together, so then we can't make the assumption that it's suicide.
Sir, it is.
אבל אם ראוהו שחנוק ותלוי באילן או הרוג ומושלח על גבי סייפו, הרי זה בחזקת כל המיתים. If there's any way you can assume that perhaps this was either an accident or somebody else did it, so then we don't impose an assumption of suicide. That's the point that the Rambam is making there. Let's open Shulchan Aruch. That Simon Shin Mem Hay. I think there's one in the bookcase if somebody hasn't got their Shulchan Aruch with them. So, what does Shulchan Aruch say? Ha'ma'abed atzmo la'dat ein mitaskim ol nechol davar ve'im mitablin alav ve'im maspidin oto. V'lo korin, v'lo choltzin, That's aval omdin alaf b'shura v'omrin alaf b'rkat avilim v'chol davar shu kavod l'chaim. So unsurprisingly, further along, the big brown shulchan. So I don't think we've got that volume there. Two more bookcases along. You got it? Yeah. Okay. That's Jeremy, I think there's over there behind Bernard. I think there's a Shulchan Aruch. That's so the Shulchan Aruch is paskening clearly, like the Rambam, that there's no Avilut.
Have we got the right? Didn't have an Avilut. That's one of the
yeah, is it? Yeah. Shin Mem Heis, if I love.
All right, thank you. Good one, like that. Amazing.
So there's an important. Pitchei Tshuva Sivkatan Aleph. Look in the Pitchei Tshuva Sivkatan Aleph. That's Yordeh Chelek Gimel. That's Velokorin. So he says, I'm Berhetiv. Mashikatav Avaltat Harambam Vatosh Avelim Korin. Rufise Vadindim Tabrin Aleph. Elashim Maspidin Aleph. I'm Bet Yosef. We saw all that. V'ayim b'tshuva chatam sofe simin shin kaf vav, shera panim shedat haramban hilchatzahi. So the chatam sofe seems to think, there's an actual fact the halacha is like the Ramban, that there is avilut. V'tachar rayat alechem mishneh sof perikalaf me'evil. Ach la'alachal ma'ise mi'arim rosh neged haskamat haraf b'y Yosef v'shulchanach shesatam kaharambam. V'shagam shalacha kidvera ha'meikul b'evil. So, that's the Chatams, we saw this machloket, right? That's Ramban and Ramban, whether or not there's Avilut. The Shulchan Aruch is paskin like the Ramban, there's no Avilut. The Chatam Sofer seems to think, Ramban. Like the Ramban, that there's no Avilut. The Chatam Sofer seems to think the Halacha is like the Ramban, that there should be Avilut. So the Pitchei Tshuva says, that's, hold on a minute, that's number one, I don't like to go against the Beit Yosef. And number two, we've got a halacha, this is a principle in Hilchot Avilos, halacha k'divrei ha-meikel be'evel, that we always follow the more lenient opinion. Exactly how we apply that is a topic for another time, but essentially, that's what we follow, the more lenient opinion. So here, the more lenient opinion is that there's no Avilot. So you don't have Avilot. But now there's a very important observation. And this goes back to that's you know, what I said at the beginning of Halacha Aleph in Masechet Smachot. Kol she'eino lichvot ha'chayim, ein harabim mitaskin bo, but kol she'u lichvot ha'chayim, harabim mitaskin bo. Omnam, mikol makom, omer ani. Right, so this is in the Pitchei Tshuva. Omer ani, heichad ik kvod mishpacha nichbedet, ashe ye lahem lavuz, b'lichlima olamit, she'achad mehem kilkel ma'asav, Aval im yatir lahem hamorel itabel az yomru habriot kamu beirabanan b'milta b'nitbaya shelohaya lo din ma'abed atzmo azay achol hamore horat lohorot l'chatchila l'hitabel afilim be'emet nitbare lo shaya lo kol din ma'abed atzmo ladat. Right, so what he's saying is that you can actually factor in, and this is very important in a contemporary context, right? You can actually factor in the notion of Kvod HaChayim to allow the Avelim to observe Avilut, or to allow the relatives to become Avelim. That's in the sense that this is, we're saying anything which is, you know, Kvod HaChayim. So it's true that on paper, the dinim of Avilut are Lichvot Hametim, at least that's the way the Rambam understands it. In practice, though, that's, you know, for a family who's just lost a relative, to then be told, oh, no, we're not sending any shiver chairs round to you, you know, we're not allowing you to put a death notice in the, you know, in the Jewish Chronicle, as they used to do in the old days, you know, we're not announcing it in shul that you're sitting shiver. That's a big insult, that, you know, that's adding insult to injury to the family. And therefore, they can observe Avilut because it becomes Kvod HaChayim. So that's a very fascinating chiddush of the Chatam Sofer. And I think really what the Chatam Sofer is doing, the Pitchei Tshuva, basing himself on the Chatam Sofer in any event, what the Pitchei Tshuva is doing is introducing a psychological understanding of the circumstances into what's going on here. That, you know, he's recognizing that suicide, you know, is not, you know, it's an understatement to say it's not a simple matter, but the you know, that it's a very painful matter, you know, for the family, and therefore to deny them the opportunity to observe Avelut, that becomes even more hurtful to them, and therefore it's Kvot Achai.
In a sense, we're acknowledging their understanding of what Avelut is about, even if that's wrong. Even if, because Avelut is often explained as not what people think it is. People will say Avelut is good because it is an outlet and it gives you opportunity through Shiva to meet people and to, and often the answer to that is, well, no, that's not what Avelut is about. That's not really. But if that's the interpretation of the availing of it, we're saying we accept that, and therefore...
Yeah, but I think it's even... I don't think you even need to go that far. I'm just saying, it's, you know, here it's almost... If there's no availus, it's a denial that the person...
Yeah.
You know, this is a death worth marking. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is the point that he's making. Mm-hmm. Look now in Sif Bet. Sif Bet, again, Paskins like the Rambam. Ezeum Abay, that's one of that. Gon Shama, Harehu Olel Rosh Hagag, Vra'uhu Sha'alam Yad Derkas, or Shaya Mates, Avana Falva Mate, Harezeb Chezkat Sheibay, that's one of that. Avalim Ra'uhu Chanuk, Vitalu Bailano Harug Mushlach Agabe Saifo, Harehu Chezkat Kolamitim, Mitaskim Mimor, Vain Monin Mirenu Davar, exactly the Lashon of the Rambam. That's, okay, but again, look in the Pitchei Tshuva. I'm bit shivkat hambet. I'm bit shuvat even shoham. Shenishal beishachad shalach b'derech hayashar. That's a person who, you know, was good, upright, from person. The sigefat's more b'tani to vitzvila v'achakach evidets more ladat. Right. That's, and then he, it seems like he, you know, was suffering from some sort of that OCD type. Type problem, you know. He was a good from person, but he overdid it with his religious devotion, and you know, just you know, was fasting, and you know, he got in too much of a melancholy, that's depression, religiously induced depression, and killed himself. Maybe he thought that was a way of teshuva or something like that. So he said, you know, before he set off, he said, you know, if anybody's looking for me, you can't find me, I'll be in the mikveh. That's, so they found him that's the next day at home, but he was, you know, he immersed himself as if it was some sort of preparation for, you know, going to Olam Haba. That's, and they found him, you know, covered in blood, that's, and holding the knife. Umikodem beizo yamim hishchisa sakin va'amash erotzel asoto sakin shel shchita. And they'd see, you know, people had seen him sharpening the knife and he's saying, ah, I'm going to use this for shchita. So, you know, he's obviously offering himself up as a korban. Va'al hakotel nimsa katuv b'chitav yad shetamidav yagidu acharav kaddish. Im nikra ma'abed atzmon adat v'heishiv shelo yimnu mimenu davar. So he's written on the wall that, you know, his Talmidim should say Kaddish for him. So all the signs there are pointing to a suicide. Pointing to a suicide, and I would say also pointing to, you know, a mental instability. And the maskana was, don't treat him as a suicide. Chadat einzeh ma'abedat slamo ladat, kevan shelo ra'uhu ma'abedat smo. Right, so he goes on to say that, you know, all the circumstances are pointing to suicide, but seeing as we haven't got cast iron, or we haven't got witness evidence of that, so then we don't regard him as a Mar Beit HaSmol Adat. And we, you know, again, you know, to go through this, you know, in your own time, if you're able to, and you've got the time, you know, it's worth seeing it. But what we're seeing in, you know, from the late Achronim onwards is a tendency to be even more broad-minded than the Rishonim were in the definition of. Perhaps I should say more narrow-minded in terms of defining what suicide is. In terms of, you know, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch are fairly narrow, meaning that, you know, you can have a person, you know, is talking about suicide one day, you know, and the next day is found dead, you know, having fallen off the roof. Right? You know, nowadays we would assume that was suicide. That the Rambam saying, the Shulchan Aruch saying, no, that's not suicide. Give them all the kavod of that we would give anybody else. That it's only if you see them, you know, they say to you, "I'm going to jump off this roof," and you see them go up to the top and jump off. So then, you know, maybe even if you don't see them jump off, but you know, 5 minutes later you see them down at the bottom. So then, that's that would be regarded as a suicide. That's but you know, this is being made even more emphatic, you know, where, you know, all the signs point to it. You know, he's been sharpening the knife, he's been going through these religious sigufim and rituals, there's blood everywhere, the knife's in his hand, it's clear nobody else did it to him. Now, you know, he's written on the wall to say Kaddish, nevertheless, we'll give him there the benefit of the doubt.
Doesn't make any difference if you say someone has the mental condition, which, so that takes away from.
So we're going to come to that now. Okay, so it's not muskam lakol however. You know, if you look in Rosh Shlomo Kluger, Halev L'Chash Shlomo, that's, you know, he's very much, just look at the question. Masha Shaladate Shevik Shula Hoshivot Obamasar, Halach Balai the Talai Tatsmo, Im Ladonokum Abe Tatsmo Ladatolo. This was just the question there of Halev L'Chash Shlomo addressed to Rosh Shlomo Kluger, you know, he says that you know, that would be a case of ma'abet atzmo ladat. That and also the Chochmat Adam that says, you know, there are cases where we're going to see that it's ma'abet atzmo ladat. That, but if you look in Gesher HaChaim, just to conclude everything, again, you'll have to look at those in your own time. But Rav, he says, and Gesher HaChaim, I think we've mentioned him on previous occasions, but critical sefer to have for Hilchot Avelut, Rabbi Yechiel Michal Tukatinsky, that's Rosh Yeshiva Reitz Chaim in Yerushalayim at the turn of the 100 years ago. But Rav HaMikrim, Hanirim Ma'abde Atzmam Ladat, Trotz Rachman HaLitzanan, Ein ladunam din ma'abed atzmo ladat. Most cases you don't treat a suicide as suicide. Kom ha'she'efshar lifshlot sha'acher harago, afil ba'ofen rachok mehametziut. So if you can, even if it's highly unlikely that somebody else killed them, that, you know, we assume, you know, we'll give them that benefit of the doubt. And then the important, or she'ish lifshlot she'lo haya as shafui b'dato, That's saying where you can assume either the person is mentally unwell, or that there's a time gap that's between when they did the action and when they actually died, and then they might have changed their mind and done tshuva, but it's too late. Right, so then we'll give them that benefit of the doubt. So, you know, a person jumps out, you said, you know, perhaps person jumps out of the aeroplane, that's these things happen.
Yeah,
that's
50 years ago.
Okay, that's, we won't give the person a din of ma'abed atzmo ladat, because it takes you 3 minutes to hit the ground. Those 3 minutes, you can change your mind. I mean, you can't do anything about it, but you can do teshuva. You can do teshuva, or even, you know, you can change, you know, you can wish that you didn't do it, hadn't done it. In which case, you haven't got the din of ma'abed that's moladat. That's, you're not willingly dying. That's, and, you know, any congregational rabbi of, you know, any more than just a couple of years' experience, you know, will tell you that he's dealt with, you know, cases of suicide. And they are always very tragic. And, you know, in every case, you know, there's at least a short-term, you know, mental illness or immense pressure. That's, or, you know, if not long-term mental illness. You know, sometimes you have it, you know, a person goes bankrupt, person's caught out having an affair, you know, or doing something, you know, doing something illegal, you know, and they can't face the shame or something like that. You know, but that's, again, that's, you know, we would count that as being, you know, a form of mental illness, and we wouldn't regard them as being ma'abedat smoladat. That's, you know, in a classical sense, you know, you even bury the ma'abedat smoladat, that's the edge of the Beit HaKvarot. You know, but we don't do that now, because it's, you know, the notion of a person just being tired of life and saying, you know, nah, that's, you know, I'm not going to carry on. You know, maybe in some extreme cases, that's, you know, you'll find, you'll find that. That's, you know, I suppose, but even then, I think we try and look and say, you know, the person is, you know, mentally unstable. I suppose you had a person of 70, said, you know, I've lived 70 years, I'm in good health, I want to die now before anything gets wrong with me. That's, I love my children, my grandchildren, I'm taking everybody out for dinner, and then, you know, I'm going to, you know, top myself tomorrow. That's, you know, even there, you know, I think we'd be concerned that the person was, you know, mentally unstable for reaching such a conclusion, maybe in a case like that. But the overwhelming majority of cases that are not ma'abed ha'smoladat. No, no, exactly. Exactly.
If he was 95 or something.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. 70 is not so old. Why would the person want to kill themselves at, you know, at 70? That's,
but if the big issue of a person who is very ill.
Yeah, but even there, you see, so a person is...
Or assisted.
Well, assisted suicide is murder. Right, that's, yeah. But, you know, even a person, I mean, you do have this sometimes, you know, a person who's, you know, being diagnosed with something terrible, and, you know, it can be that they're elderly, whatever, they just, you know, I know the case, you know, Lo Aleinu, you know, a person, you know, was diagnosed with something, that's, and he just threw himself under a train. That's, he couldn't face, you know, the thought of, you know, of being ill and the treatment and everything. Okay, that wouldn't be counted as ma'abed ha'smoladat. You know, it's clear. No, it's clear that the person is, you know, he's under immense pressure and depression. You know, that the future looks so bleak for him. That's what he's had to do to himself.
That's why the Rambam's language is so strange, because it casts.
No, but I don't think that. You know, I'm not sure how sensitive.
Seems almost lehefer. You know, this person chooses out of their own free will rather than out of...
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, I think the Rambam's reflecting the same thing. It's just, you know, the concept of mental illness and, you know, that sort of thing was, you know... I think it's a much more modern phenomenon.
Yeah, sure, of course.
That's okay. Let's move on to the question of kavura. That's we're not going to cover everything tonight, so we just need to deal with a few Rashi prakim here and there. So the sugi masechet Sanhedrin is dealing with the haruge beit din. And we're going to see there are two dinim associated with the kavura, an asay and a lot asay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochai, minayin lemalin et mito she'ofer alaf b'lo ta'asei, tamud lo ma ki kavo tikberenu, mikan lemalin et mito she'ofer b'lo ta'asei. So the first suggestion is that we say, even though it says ki kavo tikberenu, in a positive sense, we're still saying that, you know, that's that we infer from that there's a not only a positive mitzvah of kavura, but also a negative mitzvah not to bury a person. Ikad Amre, there are those who learn the Sugya a different way around. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishra Rishmun Yochai, Remes Likvura Min HaTorah Minai. So how do we know there's a mitzvah of kavura? Talmud Lomar Ki Kavotik Berenu. Now this is talking about with Haruge baked in, but nevertheless, we can Remes Likvura Min HaTorah. That, so that's an indication that there's kavura Min HaTorah. Amar Le Shavu Malkel Rav Chama, Kavura Min HaTorah Minayin. Ishtik Vlo Amar Le Vlo Miti. So he was quiet and didn't give any answer. Amar Rav Acha Bayakov, Imsar Alma Biyada Ditikshai. Well, yeah, if that's the case, then the whole world has been given over to fools. Yeah, you haven't got an answer where we know that there's Kavura Min HaTorah. Dibai Le Lemeima Ki Kavor. That he should have said that it says ki kavor, you shall, and being careful about using the word bury, because in actual fact we say dilavid le aron, they should be put in an aron. So it might be that kavura in this sense means sort of closing them away, and tik berenu lo mashmalei. That's because he might have thought that ki kavor only means l'aved le'aron, right? That you should put him in an aron, but not that you have to. You can't leave a person lying around in the street. You put him in an aron, that's, and put the aron somewhere out of the way. Let the body decay there. Maybe that's all right. That's v'tikberenu lo mashmalei. He doesn't learn anything extra out of the word tikberenu. So, okay. So, if a name I'm into Igbod Tzadike, well, why don't we just look for models of burial in Tanakh? We see that the Tzadik and the Avot were buried. Minhag Ba'alma, that's, okay, it's just a minhag. Yeah, that's what they happen to do. Okay, Midukavra HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. But if it was just a minhag that everybody else did, then, you know, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu bury Moshe Rabbeinu? Dululish Tali Minhaga. HaKadosh Baruch also doesn't like to diverge from the minhag. So this, just as an aside, it would be fascinating sugya in its own right. You know, the importance of adhering to minhagim. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's, you know, only bound by his own Torah, you know, feels the importance of minhagim. Tashema v'savtu kol Yisrael v'kavru oto. That's, so the, all of Israel, that's eulogized Shaul HaMelech and buried him. Again, we'll say to Lo Yishtani Minhaga, Lo Yisaftu V'Lo Yikavru, L'domen Al Pnei Hadam Ayiyu. So we've got a pasuk in Yirmiyah which talks about the Rishayim, that they Lo Yisapedu V'Lo Yikavru, they shouldn't be eulogized or buried, and L'domen Al Pnei Hadam Ayiyu, they should just be dung on the face of the earth. So, is that saying, you know, that that's implying that anybody else, there is a mitzvah of kavura? So we answer no, there's no mitzvah of kavura, but the minhag is to bury people, and the Rishayim shouldn't even be afforded that minhag. Fine, so we haven't finally worked out if there is a chiyuv from the pasuk of kavura. We've suggested that it's the remez from the pasuk of kikavotik berenu, but that might only be talking about haruge baked in. It might not be talking about everybody. Ibailahu kavura mishum bizyonahu mishum kaparahu. Now, what's the point of kavura? Is the point of kavura to save the body and the relatives from public decay, or is it kapara for the niftar? That's so. Let's see. That's lamai nafkamina da'ama lo ba'ina delikvura lahu gavra. If a person says, "I don't want to be buried," iamar mishum bizyonahu la kol kamina. If it's, you know, so that the family aren't ashamed, you know, you don't want to be sitting in shul and somebody says, "Oh, I saw your your father yesterday. He's mostly decayed. That's you know, he's still sitting on the park bench where he died. That's a big bizayon to you. That's, so you haven't got the right to bring that bizayon on your family. V'yamat mishum chaparahu. But if it's a form of kapara, perhaps that the body gets concealed and hidden out of the way, then ha amal or baina kapara ma. If a person says, "I don't want kapara," then maybe he can. What's the din? Tashamami de ikbod tzadikai. So seeing as tzadikim were buried, v'yamam shun kaparat tzadikai l'chaparat tzrichai, that so the tzadikim were buried, it can't be because they need kapara, and therefore it must be because of bisyunei. So we say, no, that's maybe the tzadikim do need kapara dikhtiv, ain't atam ain't tzadik baritz, ashe yaseta v'lo echeta. Even tzadikim, they need some form of kapara. Tashema, the Safdu lo kol Yisrael v'kavruoto. The Amad ki hechidi tahave le kapara, hanach nami likbaru. That's ki hechidi tahave lehu kapara. So the Rishayim should also be buried if it's because of kapara. They need kapara, certainly. So hai tzadik hu tahave le kapara, hanach lo lehave kapara. That's, so it could be that no tzadikim deserve kapara and the Rishayim don't deserve kapara. Tashma, loy safdu, loy kavru, to lo tahave lehu kapara. And we've got a pasuk that would indicate that. So the Gemara here is telling us a number of important things. It's telling us that at least there's a havamina that we're learning it out from a pasuk. But even if we're learning it out from a pasuk, the lashon is very important. The lashon of the Gemara is remez, nikvu ramina Torah. Okay, so even if we say that it's learnt out from that pasuk of Kikavotik Berenu, right, the Gemara's not saying that that's absolutely a din min haTorah, that's, you know, for everybody. In terms of it's a mitzvah min haTorah, that the person who's executed by Beit Din and then hung on the gallows, that's then needs to be taken down and buried. But it's not necessarily telling us that there's a din of kvura for everybody. That's, but it might be a remez. And then we've got to the important question of what the purpose is of kvura, whether it's because of bizune or whether it's because of kapara, and there doesn't seem to be a maskana there to the subject.
They don't come to any reason.
Correct.
So look, it is the right.
Sorry?
Alanatamit.
That might also apply only to the Haruge Beit Din. In terms of that pasuk, he's talking about Haruge Beit Din. So let's look at the Torah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan minay nikvura min haTorah pirshit tzarek lekovro bekarka v'lo yitnenu ba'aron v'yani chenukach. Right, so our assumption is, okay, that you certainly can't leave the person just sitting around. Okay, but can you put them in a box and put them under the stairs? That's so Talmud Lomar ki kavotik v'renu. So the pasuk says ki kavotik v'renu. Lefichach anotein meito ba'aron v'lo kvaro b'karka. So therefore, if you just put them in the coffin but you don't inter them, ovem ishum shemelin hamet. Okay, transgresses are because of halanat an hamet. And at tzarek lekovro b'karka. And if you put them in an aron and bury them in the ground, then you're not over. That's an interesting lashon. Eino over alav. Okay, you haven't transgressed the issa of that baltalin. He doesn't say that you fulfill the mitzvah of kavura. And he goes on saying, "Mikom makom yafel kovro baaretz." It's good to bury the person directly in the ground. Dikvurat aretz. Mamash mitzvah, afilu b'chutzal aretz. To bury them directly in the ground, that's really what the mitzvah is. V'chol makom makom lefi min hago. Yesh kovrim b'kuchin, v'yesh b'chafirot, v'yesh b'aron, v'yesh b'lo aron. They're different minhagim and they're all good. Some bury in kuchin, that's like burial caves. That's, we'll come on to that in a little bit. V'yesh b'chafirot, sometimes that's they dig down. Sometimes they use an aron, sometimes they don't use an aron. So we're saying that at least according to the Torah, the ideal mitzvah is kavura bakarka. That's directly bakarka. That's, and preferably not in an aron. That's, the Torah seems to think that if you use an aron, you're missing out a kiyum in kikavotik bereni. You're not transgressing baltalin, but you're not fully fulfilling the mitzvah of kikavotik berenu. That's The minhag usually is that either the bottom of the aron is loosened, or there are some holes drilled in the bottom of the aron. That way, there's contact with the earth.
So the minimum needed for not being over on Bal Talim,
it seems that not to be over on Bal Talim would seem to be some sort of kavura of the. Of the mate in the ground. That's, but it could be in a coffin. Look at the Yushalmi. The Rambam quotes the Yushalmi. Yushalmi tzavatal the Rebbe. Al tabru alay mod tachrichin. Don't spend a lot of money on my tachrichin. But ha'aron in kuva la aretz. And my aron should have holes in so it can make contact with the earth. Perushi yitlu hadaf ha'tachton shebaron. Yashkivu ala aretz, meaning remove the bottom board so that the mate is directly on the ground. Shekvurat karka mitzvah. V'lo tema mishim chavivuta de Eretz Yisrael, el afilu b'chutz ala aretz dichtiv v'alafar tashuv. So he's saying there's a different perspective. That's in terms of kavura. Kavura, it's enough in a coffin in the earth. That's kavura. That's not a problem of Malin Hamet, and that's kavura. The body has been buried. However, there's also a kiyum of Elafar Tashuv, that the body should be returned to the earth. And that, you're not Makayim, unless there's direct contact. That's... okay. But, the minhag in Chutz La'aretz is generally to bury in a coffin, and the minhag in Eretz Yisrael is generally to bury not in a coffin. There are slight divergences of minhagim. That's every now and then somebody gets excited and says, oh, it's terrible to bury in a coffin, and we should, we should change the minhag and everything. It's a minhag going back to the times of Chazal. That's to have, to have a coffin. That's not everywhere, but, the minhag existed. Looking in times of the Rishonim, that's the minhag. That's the minhag.
What about what was done with Yaakov Avinu?
Where they embalmed him?
Yeah,
so embalming. We don't like to do that. They didn't have a choice. The Egyptians insisted on it.
Yes.
You sometimes have it. Sometimes when you're transporting repatriating a body. They, the country that it's coming from insist on embalming.
Can I just ask, when the guf is outside of the ground, are the, because I heard there's maybe different argument amongst Sephardim and Ashkenazim of like touching the body, hugging the body, looking at it.
There's a number of considerations. It's brought down, I think it's in Shulchan Aruch, that's not to look at the face of a mate because it's kasher l'shichacha. I think that's based on a Gemara. And then there's also discussion about kissing the mate. That's brought down in the Rishonim. I think that might be in the Tzavav Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. I suspect also, at least in a contemporary context, it might... reflect the more staid emotional nature of Ashkenazim and the more demonstrative emotional nature of Sephardim in broad generalizations. Mm. That Ashkenazim wouldn't touch the mate and Sephardim will throw themselves on it. That's okay. Two points to touch on. We haven't got time to go through these tshuvot of Rav Moshe Feinstein inside. But the first tshuva addresses, I haven't got the date here, but this was written a very long time ago. This is becoming a very current issue in Israel. And that is about burying above ground. So what's happened now in a lot of cemeteries in Israel, basically they're running out of burial space. That Israel's not such a big country. The cemeteries are getting full, and it's a challenge to find burial spaces. So what they've done in a number of cemeteries That's including on Har HaMenuchot.
It's the same with the lodge.
Sorry?
With the cemetery like that. It's not.
Okay. There's a big... That's where they've built... there are various different ways of doing it. Some of them are built just like essentially car parks. That's overground multi-story car parks. That's, and the floors are several, you know, each the floor part is, you know, several feet deep, and it's filled with sand, and then they bury people, you know, in that. That's, or alternatively, they're burying them in the walls. That's some of the, in some cases, it's built into the mountain sides. That's, in any event, Rav Moshe addresses this. So in Israel, it's been a whole issue, predictably, with, in broad terms, the Haredim saying, you know, you can't do it under any circumstances, and a machloket amongst their poskim as to whether b'di'avad you have to exhume and bury in the, I'm putting in inverted commas, word traditional, in the traditional way, whereas others saying that, no, this is acceptable. This was endorsed by Rav Avadia Yosef, the current Rishon Lezion, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, that, and Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva on it, where essentially Rav Moshe Feinstein says the main concern with it, the main concern is that it, if it's attached to the ground, it's regarded as, it can still be regarded as Kvurat Karka. And what they do, I suspect each cemetery has slightly different arrangements, but certainly what they do in some of them is they have, you know, that it's built sort of next to their hillside or something like that, and then there's a trail of soil leading in channels from the hillside to passing through all the... the burial, the body spaces or burial spaces. So it's all linked to the karka. His concern is that maybe it'll fall down, or maybe it's one day it'll be dismantled or something like that. So if you can overcome those difficulties, that's I think it would be unfair to say that Rav Moshe isn't too worried. Rav Moshe doesn't like it. It's clear that he doesn't like it, but he gives halachic grounds under. He's saying he's got certain concerns, but I think in general he doesn't like it. Again, you know, he's concerned with Chukat Agoy. And these things, you know, in a contemporary context, you know, often, you know, there's a tension between, you know, people writing on paper and people who've, you know, got to deal with the situation. That's, you know, in terms of, you know, it's, you know, if you're head of the Chevra Kadisha or the Iriyah in Yerushalayim, your concerns might be different. So if you're a posek sitting in Bnei Brak, you also got to look at, you know, realities. You know, somebody will say, oh, well, you know, there's plenty of burial space in the Negev. You know, that's true. Is it realistic to send every mate from Yerushalayim for burial in the, you know, in the Negev? And this is, you know, sometimes where you have a tension between, you know, conflicting needs and values. But it's become quite widespread in Eretz Yisrael. I've used the word traditional in inverted commas because that's, those who are supportive of this point out, you know, and we saw it, you know, already, this notion of, you know, the Torah mentions, yesh yakovrim bekuchim, yesh bechafirot, you know, and we know from, you know, the sugyas in, you know, in Bava Batra, the Gemara talks about, you know, the way the burial caves were arranged. You know, that wasn't, you know, now they talk in Israel about kvurat sadeh. Okay, Kvurat Sadeh is where you've got what we know as a grave, you know, that's, you know, a field of graves, and, you know, that's what they call Kvurat Sadeh. In the times, they call this Kvurat Sanhedrin, because in the times of the Sanhedrin, this is how they buried. So it's true that for the past 1,000 years, you know, we've been, possibly more, we've been burying this way, but you can't say that this, you know, is an exclusive, you know, Jewish custom.
And who plane? They bury in levels.
Yeah, that was always
in the Orthodox.
Yeah, that was always done. That was in some of the older Ashkenazi cemeteries here and in Europe as well. So what was always done, always, you know, but you know, for many hundreds of years, that's you would bury people on top of each other. Yes. That's, and you can also opt for that in Israel. So in Israel, you know, some of the Kever Kedishas, you can opt for that. Instead of having, you know, two graves for a husband and wife, you have one grave and, you know, one on top of the other. You have to have a hefsek of however many tfachim between them. But that's, you know, again, a well-established, you know, practice. And the older Ashkenazi cemeteries in London, that's what they were doing. Again, you know, if you were a community that, you know, came here, you got a, you know, to get a burial plot, you know, was sometimes difficult, you know, a burial ground. Or sometimes when it's full, so then you bury on top of the people who are there already. The other thing that Rav Moshe raises, and
well,
which
Moshe doesn't like the idea of.
Perhaps misusing Rav Moshe in terms of I'm using Rav Moshe as a proof that for it being all right. That Rav Moshe, if you were to have asked Rav Moshe, he would have said not to do it. But he's given us models, and, you know, again, that's maybe, you know, writing 50, 60 years ago, you know, he might not have seen it as necessary. And also, you know, he talks about the notion of Chukat HaGoy. You know, I understand, you know, in America, you know, where you have all these, you know, mausoleums and, you know, things like that. And, you know, it was reform practice to want to bury like that. You know, whereas in Eretz Yisrael, it's not, nobody's trying to mimic reform. You know, they're just trying to deal with a situation of, you know, how do you find space for another, 100,000 graves. And if you look it up on the internet, you know, Kfirat Sanhedrin and all that sort of type of thing, you can find about it. There's another din, it comes up, it's in the Gemara, in Sanhedrin, also in Shulchan Aruch, that Ein Kovrim Rashai Tzel Tzadik. That you're not allowed to bury a wicked person alongside a righteous person. Indeed, in that many cemeteries, they have separate sections for usually Shomrei Shabbat and non-Shomrei Shabbat. That's so. The question is, how do you categorize people like that? That's certainly, you know. Can you imagine in the United Synagogue trying to have that, you know, Shomer Shabbat section in Bushi and a non-Shomer Shabbat section in Bushi? That's, it says, you know, there's, you know, people who are, you know, well known to, or, you know, cases where you've got Eidut that a person is definitely Mechalel Shabbat B'far Hesia, or it's well known that they're Mechalel Shabbat B'far Hesia. Then you've got people who are obviously, you know, from. And then you've got in the middle, you've got, you know, people who are that, you know, maybe some people know that they're not so from. Maybe it's quietly known that they don't keep Shabbat. They're not Shomer Shabbat B'far Hesia. That's so he says those people can be buried with the frum people. That's unless you know for sure that a person is not Shomer Shabbat.
You've got then, sort of two options.
Yeah, then you've also got that second, you know, question in terms of which, you know, Rav Moshe never addressed that notion of, you know, what status will we give to a person who's not mitzvah observant nowadays. The important thing that Rav Moshe makes the observation is, what if a person says, I want to be buried in my family plot? He's a Shomer Torah Mitzvot. His family isn't. So if he's given instructions to be buried in a particular place, so then you bury him there, even though it might be with people who are not from. He says that you can do. So it might well be that, you know, a person who chooses a burial, you know, they choose to be buried in a particular cemetery. So then it indicates that, you know, they're happy to be buried. They're happy to be buried wherever. That's, you know, certainly a Dina de Gemara. That he says it's actually not to bury Tzadik Eitzel Rasha, it's a Dina de Oraita Halacha LeMoshe Misinai. That's because they had two Batei Kvarot for the Aruge Beit Din. That's one for Niskanin Nisrafin and one for Neheragin Nechnakin. That's because they were different levels of Rishut. So again, different, you know, different Minhagin there, but at least, you know, it's not, you know, in an inclusive Jewish community, it's not politically correct, you know, to start dividing in, you know, death between those who are mitzvah observant and those who aren't. But, you know, at least as, you know, as Rabbonim, people have an awareness, you know, of this of this halakha. Some, you know, that's, as Jeremy says, you know, you've got a notion of, you know, of Tinok Shenishba, and what status do we give to that Mechalele Shabbat Farhesia nowadays? But you'll still, you know, occasionally have, you know, the notion of a, you know, of a mumar. Now, you'll have some person who's, you know, a person who's married out, person who's converted out, you know, a person who's converted to Christianity, but, you know, decides that he wants to be buried, you know, in the family plot at Willesden or wherever it is. That's, yeah, so there would be, you know, I think a real Shiloh. That's, you're right, in terms of...
Robert Maxwell, there's controversy over him. He was...
Yeah, I mean, again, in Yerushalayim, they're much more strict about...
he lived as a Christian.
That's...
very much so.
Yeah. That's... did he live as a Christian? Or I mean, he was married out. Later. No, I understand that. Did he go to church? I don't know. I'm saying there's a difference between living with a Christian and living as a Christian. That's but again, in Yerushalayim, you know, certainly some of the Chevra Kadishas in Yerushalayim, that's, you know, have separate sections for, you know, Shomrei Torah Mitzvot and those who aren't, as do some of the cemeteries here. Okay, let's touch very quickly that's on the Sudat Havra. So again, we'll basically look at this outside, but starts with a Rashi in Parashat Toldot talking about that's Avraham Yaakov Avinu cooking min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh. That's, and Rashi says, what was this, you know, red lentil stew? Yaakov Avinu was cooking lentils because it was the day that Avraham Avinu was niftar, and he was cooking the Sudat Havra for Yitzchak. And the minhag of Avelim is to eat beitzim sheim agulim ve'en lahem peh, round foods. That's, if we look at Gemara Moed Katan, so Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Avel Yom Rishon Asur Le'echol Lechem Mishelo. So an Avel on the first day, he's not allowed to eat his own food. Mid Amar Le'rachman Yechezka, V'lechem Anashim Lo Tochal. When Yechezkel was an Avel, in fact, he wasn't an Avel, but that certain things that he did observe, he was told, V'lechem Anashim Lo, so he wasn't observing that Avelut, even though his son had died. So he was told, V'lechem Anashim Lo Tochal, you don't eat other people's food. The implication being that usually an Avel has to eat other people's food, and Rabbi Rav Yosef Mechlefei Sudatayhu La'adadi. They swapped food with each other. In any event, there's a machloket in the Rishonim as whether this is only the first, whether this is the first Suda, or whether it's the first Suda on the first day, or whether it applies to the whole day. So what if the Avel eats several sudot on the first day? Some Rishonim say he can't eat his own food for all of those sudot. Others say no, it's only the first sudah. That's how we paskin, that it's only the first sudah that he can't eat his own food. That's and if he wants to fast, if a person hasn't got, it can be, you know, a person you know, is in Avelus and he's got nobody to bribe him with a Suda. You know, it can happen, you know, person's abroad. Person's gone to the middle of nowhere, that's on business. He's stuck there for, that's stuck in some place in China. Can't get out, and there's no Jewish community there. And he gets a phone call that his mother, Lo Aleinu, has died in England, and the burial's taking place. He's going to sit shiver by himself in China. So the first day, he can't eat anything. Till nightfall, he can't eat anything because it's also for him to eat his own food till he's been provided for with the first Suda. Question that often comes up, I've been asked this a few times, is on a Friday afternoon, din of Sudat Havra on a Friday afternoon. Look in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Im nikba mei be'er Shabbat mitesha sha'ot olamala. Okay, so from Mincha Ketana onwards, Sha'as Asur Likba Suda, Ein Mavrin Otom Ibnei Kvod Shabbat, V'lo Yochal Klum Ad HaLayla. V'chem Yishemek Lo Meit V'nikba B'yom Tov, Ein Mavrin Otom, Gam Lacha Yom Tov, Ein Mavrin Otom, Shekva Shekva Nidche. Aval Im Nikba B'chol Amoid Mavrin Otom, Ela She'ochel Yosev Al HaSafsal, Eit El HaShulchan Kedarko, Ki Ein Aveilut B'chol Hamoid. So it's like two different dinim. In terms of there's a din of Aveilut, which doesn't apply, but there's a din of Sudat Havra, which does apply. So the minhag of Sudat Havra is to eat round foods. Rashi mentions eggs. Minhag amongst Ashkenazim certainly is to eat bagels. Eggs, also bagels. I don't think people so much eat the lentils. Mm-hmm. People tend to eat herring as well. Mm-hmm. So somebody once asked me why they eat herring. Yes. I think the answer is probably once because one time a Rav was sitting shiva and they brought him the bagels and he said, oh, can I have a bit of herring on it? I can't find it. It's certainly an Anglo-Jewish minhag that you have herring with the bagels. That's at the Sudat Havra. It's not mentioned in any of the minhagim. So I can only assume that somebody once saw somebody from doing it and assumed that was the minhag that you have to eat. Eat herring. Okay, we'll deal with the question of Dorait and Rabbanan next time. So we've covered a lot, but I think important important themes there.
Thank you very much.